What do you think about when you hear somebody saying, act like you've been set free? What does that mean to you? What kind of answer do you think you would have gotten if you would have went out and asked some of those women who are out protesting and marching on the streets of D.C. and Vegas and New York City and wherever else yesterday? What do you think it would answer you get to act like you've been set free? What answer would you give if somebody asked you that? What does that mean? And in America, we, and I'm talking Americans as a whole, American Christians in particular, as in broader American evangelical Christianity, have bought into very much of a relativistic answer to that, to where the only sin that's left is intolerance. As long as you tolerate it, you can do whatever you feel like doing, be whatever you feel like being, as long as you're not infringing on anybody else doing what they feel like they should do. That's our picture of freedom that we have in this country. And the church is buying into this. The American church is buying into this. And so I don't know what the guys who wrote that song we just sang were thinking when they wrote that. And I had to, when my family was liking the song and we were playing with the idea of doing it, I had to process this. Is this okay? Because to a lot of people in America, they take that and say, just whatever you want to be. I have a friend who works in construction, and he was telling me, my friend's name is Tim, and he was doing drywall on a house, and he was working alongside of somebody else there in this house. And this man was, I don't know who the man was, this man was an outspoken Christian. He was not of the same stripe of Christian as my friend was. But he was a very outspoken Christian, and he would talk about how great the grace of God was. And he wanted to tell everybody about this. And he would say things like, and I'm getting this second-handed, so I could be messing it up. He would say things like, God's grace is so good, so big, it doesn't matter. Any sin I have, nothing could ever make me lose the grace of God. He would say, it doesn't matter if I go out and get drunk. It doesn't matter if I go out and look at porn. It doesn't matter whatever it is. God's grace is going to cover everything. And I'm free. I've been set free. So what do you say to a guy like that? I mean, you want him to be a testimony for the Lord, right? Because Jesus can't, the blood of Jesus can cleanse any sin. His grace can cover anything. There's nothing that someone, you wouldn't come to someone and say, you sinned this in your past. That's too much for God to forgive through the blood of Jesus, right? You wouldn't do that. But what do you say to the guy who says, it doesn't matter if I go out and do this tonight and names off a couple of sins, God's grace is going to cover me? What do you say to that? And what do you say to those people who say, well, you're intolerant. Your church has rules. How constricting and intolerant. The Bible says, I'm going to go to Galatians 5 here, and I know you all know this chapter, but I'm going to look at a few verses in Galatians 5. The Bible says in Galatians 5:1, for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. And what was the yoke of slavery he was talking about there? Well, he was talking about the Jewish laws and rituals. That's what this section of Galatians was talking about. Stand firm, for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. And people will say, well, you're intolerance is that same yoke of slavery. And you need to just, and then you throw in Matthew 7:1, judge not lest ye be judged, and you've got your American version of the gospel all ready to go. What's the problem? Well, the problem is we didn't, at least with that verse in Galatians, the problem is we didn't read the rest of what Paul wrote about it. Listen to verse Ephesians 5:13. For you were called to freedom, brothers. That sounds exactly the same. You were called to freedom. But that's not the whole verse. You were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but in love, serve one another. Or how about this? Ephesians 5:16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. It is true that Jesus broke the chains of the law of sin and death. But if we walk after the desires of the flesh still lusts. The flesh still desires evil things. And I understand your Sunday school lesson was taken from Romans, at least part of it was from Romans 7, which is a very vivid picture of that war between the flesh and the spirit. And those desires of the flesh, those if we just do whatever we want, whatever we feel like doing, that is by definition gratifying the desires of the flesh. And as you do that, the desires of the flesh grow until they become so strong that you can't resist them. You know what you call a desire that's so strong you cannot resist it? You don't have the power to say no to it. You know what you call that? You call that an addiction. An addiction. It's when a desire of some sort, whether it's physical, whether it's a dependence that your body has on a substance, or whether it's a psychological thing, when it's something that is so strong you do not have the power to say no, that's an addiction. That is bondage. That's not the freedom that Christ has called us to. If we say freedom is doing whatever we feel like doing, as that man was telling my friend, you can end up in bondage. Listen to what the rest of Galatians 5, 17 through 24. For the desires of the flesh are against the spirit, and the desires of the spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. But if you are led by the spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Those who live in Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. It does not mean that all desire dies and we become feelingless and numb. It means that he takes our heart of stone, that sinful heart, the dead heart, out and gives us a heart of flesh. He gives us a new life. He births the life of the Spirit in us. That changes our desires. It changes our desires to the point that David could say in the Psalms, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." And that really is his, that's what God's calling us to. But it requires being born again. It requires having the life of the Spirit born in us.